Okay, welcome everybody to our special Chodesh Nisan Shir, even though it is not yet Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I know that as we get closer to Pesach, it becomes very difficult for us to get out, so I thought that this was the, Rabbi Schachter was kind enough to give us this Sunday. It was a more opportune time. We are learning today, Lilui Nishmas, Elchanan Yaakov ben Shmuel Pinchas, Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Elchanan Zomber, may his memory be for a blessing, may his neshama have an aliyah, as we approach the Yom Tov of Geula. I did not know Rabbi Zomber personally, but my son did. My son Aryeh was zochet to know him, and he told me what a wonderful, friendly, kind, warm person he was, that whenever he met him in the hallway, even though he wasn't his teacher, it was always, "Rabbi, how are you?" He always had something to speak about with him, how friendly and inviting and warm he was to everybody. So his neshama should truly merit an aliyah. It should be a nechama for his entire family. Amen. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. You need somewhere to eat, you need somewhere to make the Korban Pesach. Please come in and sit down with us. Hashtahacha. Ay Hashem, save us. This year we are here in the land of Galus. Lashan Haba Da'ardi Yisrael. Next year we should be Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashta Avde. This year we are slaves. As it mean to be slaves, b'chol dar v'dar, chayiv adam leros es atzmo kilu hu yatzim mitzrayim. We are all in a perpetual state of avdus until bias kol tzedek l'shana haba b'nei chorin. Next year we should be free people. As we open the Seder, we declare this is the matzah of affliction. This is the bread of affliction. We declare we are here. We want to be in Eretz Yisrael. This year we are slaves. We hope, we daven, and we pray to be free men. Soloveitchik Zatzal writes during the more than 1,800 years of exile, the Jews lived in poverty and deprivation. I still remember my own life as a young boy. My father, he says, his father is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, son of Rav Chaim Brisker. My father was a rabbi, a prominent rabbi. He used to get for payment 18 rubles a week. They never paid him. They were supposed to pay him. I remember I walked around in torn pants. My classmates at Cheder ridiculed me. Boys are very cruel. Children in general can be very cruel. Could you hear me in the back? Yeah. It appeared funny to them that the rabbi's son should walk around in torn pants. I remember one year my mother called me and she promised me she would make me a new pair of pants for Pesach. It was around Shvat, which was January/February. I was so proud. I was so happy. That year I would have new pants. A few weeks later she called me in. And she told me she was sorry. We could not afford it. These were the exact circumstances under which the rabbis lived in Lithuania and White Russia. We do not appreciate how prosperous we are today. In Europe, it was a life of poverty and deprivation. There was not enough food. There was not enough clothing. Who speaks about luxuries? He says, I remember I wanted a bicycle. It was as far from me as a Chinese warlord is as distant from us at this moment. I wanted a ball. We couldn't afford a ball. I made one from paper and glue. Under such circumstances, the Jew sacrificed. Halach ma'anya, this is the bread of poverty and this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate. And that, in a sense, we still continue to eat despite all the wealth and the prosperous society in which we live. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau has a beautiful Haggadah, which unfortunately some people have looked for it in the past. After I quoted from it, it seems to be out of print and it's very hard to get. It's very, very beautiful. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau was once conducting a Pesach Seder in an Air Force base with the commander of the base, Brigadier? General Ran sitting next to him. There was about 1,100 participants, men, women, children, pilots, and their families, all in attendance. So he read the passage we have just gone over, Halach Manya Diachalu Avasana Da'ar B'Mitzrayim. And he read, Hashtahacha L'Shana Haba Be'ar Di'Yisrael. And he read, Hashtah Avdei L'Shana Haba B'nei Chorin. And he translated from the Aramaic into Hebrew. So a young lieutenant raised his hand, indicating he had something to say. The commander said, let him speak. He is a serious young man. The young man stood up and he said, Rabbi, I hear the passage in Aramaic and your translation in Hebrew. It seems to me the whole passage is outdated. It's antiquated. It has nothing to say to us. Even so, is that true for the entire Haggadah? Is the whole thing antiquated? After all, what does this passage mean? Now we are here. Next year in the land of Israel. Now we are slaves. Next year let us be free men. I am a Sabra. I have lived my entire life in this country, the land of Israel. What does it mean we are slaves? I was born after the state of Israel was established. I have always been free. Maybe we should modify the text. And Bailao answered the young man as follows. I want you to know, he said, with my own ears, I heard my teacher at the Panovich Yeshiva Rav Shach, and my teacher Yeshiva Zichron Yaakov of Eliyahu Loplan, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach of Yeshiva Kol Torah on Yom Kippur. With my own ears, I heard these gedolim say, on the holiest day of the year, on which one tells the truth and only the truth. As they recited the vidui, they recited the confession, Ashamnu Baganu, Alavera Alchechachatel Fenecha Belashon Hara. If you look at it objectively, said Rav Lau to all those in attendance, how could these gedolim make such a confession, including sins they confess for which there is a death penalty, and we all know they did not commit any such sins? I began to think, just a moment, the Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim, Rav Kook, countless other righteous people as well made the same confession. Were all these Rabbanim lying? The answer is, they did not think only of themselves. Want us to think about everyone else and the entire Jewish people. Because Kol Yisrael are Ravim Zeh Bazeh, we are all guarantors for one another. When these saintly people begged Hashem for forgiveness and they clapped the vidui, they weren't thinking about only themselves. They were thinking about all other Jews. The same applies, said Rav Lau, to the text of the Haggadah. Do I only think about myself? Does a Jew only say, I am a Sabra? I am in the land of Israel? I was born into an existing Jewish state? How about my brothers and sisters who are in other lands? Behind the Iron Curtain, this is before the freedom from the Soviet Union. How about those in Asia and Africa who want to be freed of the yoke of the diaspora, who want to come to Israel? They cannot say these words because they don't have a Seder. They don't have matzah. They don't have wine. They have no Haggadah. I'm just going to pause for a moment, and this should, his words should really make us stop and take stock and realize how fortunate we are. The choice is, where should I buy my matzah, and which of the new Haggadahs, which commentary would I like to invest in this year and really at the Seder table? And where can I get the grape juice? They don't have a Seder. They don't have matzah. They don't have wine. They don't have a Haggadah. No, nor do they have the necessary knowledge. Even if they had all the ingredients for the Seder, they wouldn't be able to conduct one because they wouldn't know what to do. Let's stop thinking about ourselves and think about others. Now we are here. Next year, let us be in the land of Israel. This year, we are slaves. Next year, let us be free men. Halach ma'anya, diachalu avasana ba'ar de mitzrayim. This is the bread of our affliction that our forefathers ate. And this is the bread of bitterness, of pain, of tears that our people are all too often still forced to swallow. And therefore, the entire text of the Haggadah is very much relevant in each and every generation. Shabachal halelos, on all of the nights, anu ochlim sha'ar yirakos. Grab whatever kind of vegetable you want. I was going to say asparagus. Then I thought, if you could have any kind of Czech vegetable, you are. I made a shahaka before. You could have any kind of vegetable you are. Halayla hazeh, on this night, kulo marar. There's one kind of vegetable. Not literally, metaphorically, not intellectually, but emotionally. One kind of vegetable. And that's marar. Only marah. Recall the pain and the tears and the bitterness of all of our exiles. From Yaakov's exile to Lavan in Luz, in the backwater of Luz, to the Egyptian enslavement, to the Cossacks and their terror, to the Nazis, Yamach Shvam Zichram, and to today's Amalek. May their names be obliterated from under the heavens. There was a stabbing this morning, this afternoon, Eretz Yisrael time. Baruch Hashem, the victim was in what they call lightly injured. And as I've said before, we should never know what it means to be lightly injured in a terrorist attack or otherwise. My grandfather, Yitzchak ben Moshe, Alav HaShalom, wrote, in his war memoirs, I remember how Israel Weissenberg, Hashem Yukom Damo, the tall one, Rab Avramele Malamitsan, stood by the mass grave and he recognized his parents and he recited Kaddish and he studied Mishnah by heart. However, heaven was closed to our cries and our tears. Israel Weissenberg was shot later in Budzin with another 105 Jews when the order to murder arrived. After that disastrous Sunday, when half the city of Krasnik was destroyed, and we who were left did not know and did not yet believe that all those who had been removed were already dead, for 6 more months until Sukkot 1942, when the great catastrophe wiped out Jewish life in Krasnik, I shall never forget that Yom Kippur, when everyone realized the forthcoming catastrophe of liquidation. We gathered at the house of Rav Peretz Shoichet for Kol Nidre. When I passed through the streets, I saw my first Rebbe, Rav Avram Brand. He lived at that home. He was dressed, sitting on the entranceway. He was dressed as if for a voyage. I said to him, Rebbe, what are you waiting for? He said to me, I am waiting for death's arrival. That was his answer. Shabbachal halelos, anu ochlim sha'ar yirachos. Halayla hazeh kulo maror. Continues the Baal Haggadah, Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. The Pasuk says in Shemos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel 2:23. Vayihi bayamim harabim ahem. It was in those great days, great not as in joyous, but great as in difficult and painful. Vayamas melech mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, died. The children of Israel groaned from their work. They cry out. Their cries went up to God from the work. What does Rashi say on Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim? I'm asking. Anyone? Oh, that's coming later. That's why Yaakov Melech Chadash, Asher Lo Yada As Yosef. So Rashi says there, and you could look it up, Rashi 2:23, because he uses these words. Rashi says, Pharaoh did not die. Avadim hayinu leFarah b'Mitzrayim. He had Sara'as. He would shecht. Shecht, that's the shorosh used by Rashi. Bless you. Shecht Jewish babies, and he would bathe in their blood. Avadim hayinu leFarah b'Mitzrayim. Remember the Shibud before the Geula came, the Galus. My grandfather wrote, I did not see my father or my sisters anymore. In the morning on Shabbos, they hurried us from the barracks. 83 young Jews were chosen to work, and the older men, women, and children were gathered before our eyes. They were hurried to the train station, where there were already other Jews from the city. With our own eyes, we saw how they herded everyone into the boxcars. When the transport with the unfortunates rolled past, their final be well wafted to us through the dilapidated openings. The Pasuk says, V'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh, you should eat the meat on that night. We spoke last Shabbos, we spoke last week about the inyan of time. A slave owns time. Ah, I said it wrong. A slave does not own time. A free person owns time. And therefore, one of the symbols of our geula was what? HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon, Hu L'chad Shayashara. It's coming up this Shabbos. Take time and you own it. First national mitzvah was not an accident, that it's time. And if you look at the Lashon related to the mitzvahs of Leil HaSeder, V'higadata l'bincha b'yom ha'hu le'mor, tell your son on that day, say, V'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh, you shall eat the meat of the Korban Pesach on that very night. These mitzvahs are time-bound, they're related to time. Chodesh ha'aviv, we're going to come up to Chodesh ha'aviv soon, because a slave does not own time, and a free man does own time. And you can only be productive if you own time. You can only keep mitzvahs if you own time. Because if your master owns time, and I'm not talking about master being Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, but if a human master owns time, you are bound to him. V'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh. Eat the meat of the Korban Pesach on that night. Tzli eish, roasted over fire. U'matzos al morurim yochluhu. Eat it with the bread of affliction. We started off talking about the bread of affliction. Halach mania diachalu avasana. Eat that roasted Korban Pesach on that night, because you own time. Eat it with what? Matzah. What does matzah symbolize? B'chipazon. We left hurriedly. There was no time for the bread to rise. What does matzah symbolize? The torn pants of a Jewish child, the rabbi's son. I'm sorry, you can't have new pants. What does matzah symbolize? All the avdus and the shibud and the slavery. Halach me'anya. It's the bread of the poor man. Amorim. Eat it over bitter herbs. Alayla hazah. Kula maror. Take that whole package. Take the tzli eish, which we're about to talk about now, on that day, because time represents freedom. Bind it up with matzah, with maror, and make yourself a nice gezunt sandwich. That's what you have to eat tonight. Now, the Korban Pesach must be roasted over fire, eaten along with the bread of affliction and the bitter herbs. It's forbidden. It's a pasuk from, for your own reference, Shemos, chapter 12, verses 8 through 9, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Ches through Tes. It is forbidden to eat the Korban Pesach if it is underdone, and it is forbidden to cook it in water. So, you know, you go to the restaurant, they say, how do you like your steak? And you say, medium rare. Or rare medium. No. It can't be underdone. You can look up Rashi on these verses as well. It must only be roasted in fire to be considered a valid offering. You like your meat boiled? You can't have it boiled. You like your meat rare? You can't have it rare. You like it without matzah? Too bad. Sli eish ba'alayla hazer amatzos umorim yachluhu. The Korban Pesach commemorates our freedom. Is everyone with me? The Korban Pesach commemorates our freedom from the Shibud Mitzrayim, from the slavery of Mitzrayim. It commemorates our terrible years of Egyptian servitude and oppression. It reaffirms our commitment to community. Don't eat it by yourself. Go to your shachein hakarov, go to your close neighbor and say, there's too much meat and my family can't eat it. Would you like to? Come join along. It reaffirms not only our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also our commitment to who? The Kehila. Man does not live, a Jew never lives for himself. Stretch out to others, smile at others, be friendly to others, have what to talk about with someone who's not your Talmud even. Be with your Shachein. Be close to somebody else, have the Korban Pesach with others. Why roast it over fire? What if you like it a little bit underdone? What if you want it boiled or simmered, not roasted? No, the Torah says roast it all at once. Now, if you look up those verses as well, it has to be roasted with its head and with its legs. So let's talk about this mitzvah, okay? The mitzvah doesn't mean you did a nice thing. Mitzvah means you are mitzuveh. You are commanded to do something. So what are we commanded to do? Take the whole lamb and roast the whole thing. Not boiled, not simmered, not rare, roasted. Tzli'esh. And you have to eat it with the matzah and the maror we're speaking about. And you have to eat it. And it has to be roasted with its head and its legs. So let's talk about this. Why? If you ask me why we have to do that, the answer is because Hashem said. What's the hashkafic reason behind why? To recall the historical experiences of the children of Israel, simply cooking the carbon in water is not enough. Why isn't it enough? The heat is not direct enough to scorch the flesh. The method of cooking is too gentle. Similarly, the underdone carbon would represent heat that is not strong enough, i.e. experiences in galus that are too gentle, where the carbon is not exposed to the heat long enough. That does not accurately portray underdone cooking or gently simmering. Does not accurately portray the historical experiences of the Jew in exile. Our experience in all of our exiles, beginning with the Galus and Shibud Mitzrayim, actually I'm going to amend that. That's what I wrote, but I think that I can say beginning with the first Galus, and that was Yaakov Avinu's Galus, when he was fleeing from who? Esav, who wanted to kill him. So therefore, all of our experiences and all of our exiles, beginning with, your other pen from it. Thank you. Beginning with Yaakov's sojourn to his father-in-law, are not gentle. Though exile may sometimes begin as pleasant, it often turns suddenly oppressive, seemingly overnight. Vayakom melech chadash asher lo yadas Yosef. A new king arose, says the pasuk, that didn't know Yosef. There's a difference of opinion. Either he really didn't know Yosef, or he conveniently made himself like he didn't know Yosef. And the comforts that the Israelites faced in their host nation and host land were quickly ripped away from them. B'chipazon, our experience in exile is rushed, it is hurried, it is not comfortable, it is roasted. As for underdone meat, the sojourns under foreign rulers have never been short. This is certainly not a short galus, and it has never been with less than scorching heat. There's no such thing as not cook long enough when it comes to our national experience in foreign lands. And so therefore the carbon that represents our freedom from Egypt serves to remind us of our servitude in Egypt. Remember well, says Torah, your national fate. Remember you will be forced to serve foreign kings in strange lands. Gigerim hayisem, Baretz Nachriya. It's Mitzrayim. It will not be gentle, and it will not be brief. It's not with a low flame. It's with a big, roasted fire. It will be as the Korban Pesach must be. Put it right in. So that's pretty depressing. So there's another message, though, that we have to address, and that is you must roast it with its head and its legs. And what does that teach us? Though we are oppressed, the head and the legs come to teach us, we will always survive. How so? The head represents the mind, the creativity, our desire to learn, to grow, to know, to do more, to be more. With our head, we will persevere. And with our legs, which propel us forward as individuals and as a nation, because we persevere, come what may, we will keep our minds, our hearts, our very selves going forwards. The head represents the intellect, the Yiddish akab, the desire of the Jew to know more, be more, learn more, do more, speak more, daven more. And our legs represent that what? We always go forward. We know when we believe with perfect faith that our legs carry us through challenging times, nationally challenging times, and individually challenging times. But we will ultimately, with this attitude, knowing where it's roasted over fire, again, nationally and individually. I think that I rarely teach a class that does not apply to both the nation and to the individual. We can all apply this teaching to the fact that we are part of Klal Yisrael, V'al HaShachein HaKorav El Biso. And we can all apply the teaching to us as individuals. But even though we're roasted with our heads and with our legs, we will ultimately be what? Next year? In the land of Israel. Ultimately, we will be free men. And therefore, as we commemorate this redemption from Egypt and we sit down with our families, with our neighbors and our friends, and we remember the great wonders and the miracles, Hashem took us out b'yad chazaka, and we sing the halal, and we eat the korban Pesach, along with the matzah and maror, we remind ourselves that though we are roasted time and again, our head and our legs prove we will never be defeated. We will never be overcome. With our minds focused upward, that's a capital U. With our minds focused upward and forward. And our legs, yes, our minds focused upward and forward, because you need your mind to tell you to go forward. You need your mind to tell you keep going, you can do it, even when the going gets tough. And with our legs carrying us toward a bright and promising future, we will shape and fulfill our destiny. We will be redeemed. We brought up already the galus. The first individual galus was the galus of Yaakov Avinu. Tzei u'mad, go out and learn. Go out and inquire. Go out and remember. What did Lavan, the trickster, want to do to Yaakov Avinu? Shaparo lo gazar ala alhaz charim. Paro said, "Kala ben ha'ilad hayar tashlichuhu." Pharaoh wanted to annihilate the boys. But Lavan bikesh la'kar sakal. Who did Lavan want to kill? Everybody. In the chaotic, everybody. La'akar es, hakol. La'ashmi la'arogo la'abed es, kol ha'yehudim. In the chaotic days and weeks after the end of the war, a group of young men who had survived the ghettos and the forced labor camps found themselves in the Hungarian capital of Budapest. Another survivor, the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Reb Chaim Meir Hager, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was also in Budapest at that same time, and he was helping to be mechazik, the grief-stricken survivors who remained alive. Most, if not all, of their families had been killed during the Korban. The group of young men had a shaila for the Vishnitzer Rebbe. Rebbe, we need to do teshuva, said this group of survivors. For the past few years, we have been interred in work camps, in ghettos, in death camps. We ate non-kosher food from wherever we were able to find it, whether it was the soup kitchen or the meager rations we received in the camps. To be sure, they were not large portions, never large portions. It was barely enough to tide us over with our grumbling stomachs, but we feel if our souls, our neshamos, have become tainted over time. By the way, it's very interesting when I was preparing this year to note the juxtaposition of yesterday's parsha, Parsha Shmini, with the animals that we may not consume with this vignette, which I'm relating to now. Ashras, we feel as if our neshamos have been tainted. The spokesman paused for a minute and he looked around at the group of young men and he said, should we have resisted, Rabbi? Should we have starved ourselves? Perhaps. But the temptation to partake in the steady meal, however meager the ration was too strong for us. So Rabbi, please tell us, what sort of teshuva can we do to remove the traces of treif food and restore our neshamos to the purest form? The Vishnitzer Rebbe listened in stunned silence. Immediately, his face began changing colors. First he went white. Then his cheeks turned various shades of pink and red from emotion. He jumped up from his seat. He began pacing all over the room, practically running from one end to the other. The young men were not prepared for such a reaction. They didn't know what to do. Suddenly, the Vishnitzer Rebbe burst into tears. He took the hands of the spokesman in his own hands and he cried. Minute after long minute went by. The Rebbe could not contain his tears. Finally, he spoke. What exactly do you want? He said to the young man. Teshuva? For eating in such a gehenim? For not depriving yourselves, even more than you were already deprived? The Rebbe held the man's hand, he looked into his eyes, and he looked straight into his neshama. Now listen to me good and well, for I'm about to tell you something very important. After 120 years, when you go up before the heavenly tribunal, they will check your card. They will check to see if you have merit or guilt. You know, I think to myself, lahavdil, they say identification, please. Lahavdil, alf of does. You go somewhere, they say identification, please. Can I see your passport? Where are you from? How old are you? Do you have a license? Let me see your card, the Vishnitzer Rebbe said. Do you have merit or guilt? So the Rebbe said to the boys, a portion of your card will light up as bright as the sun. Do you know what portion that is? The portion related to eating not kosher food. And specifically the portion that relates to eating from soup kitchens, camp kitchens, or no kitchens. That portion will become so illuminated. The words will shine so bright, you will not be able to even gaze at them. My dear soul, said the Rebbe, looking at those around him, when life is normal and the world is under control, it's almost impossible, this is what the Vishnitzer Rebbe said, and keeping in mind yesterday in Parsha Shmini, we just spoke about, we read about, we learned about the laws of Kashrus, it's almost impossible for a human being to protect himself entirely from placing forbidden foods into his mouth. That's what the Vishnitzer Rebbe said. Even in normal times, it's almost impossible to watch everything. Nobody is perfect. Nobody. Even with the most careful and cautious restrictions, people have a hard time at this. However, during the days of Churban, during the days of destruction that we all just went through, not only was it permissible to eat what you ate, it was a commandment, a mitzvah, a mitzuveh of the highest order. Without a slightest doubt, in my mind, it was an absolute obligation to eat from camp kitchens, soup kitchens, and no kitchens in order to stay alive. And then the Rebbe said, and I'm quoting, yet he italicized it in my notes, eating chazer treif, the flesh of the swine in the ghettos and camps, was as holy as eating a kezias of the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Maybe this chos was even greater. Once again, he broke down in tears and he said to the boys, how I envy you, such holy and righteous men like yourselves. Halavai, halavai, my share in paradise, my share in the Olam HaEmes, my share in Olam HaAba, basking in the glory of the Shekhinah, should be like yours, on account of the reward that you will get for eating non-kosher food. Halavai would it be, halavai. The title of this year is actually Chodesh Nisan, the month of, did everyone see? Miracles. I wanted to say Chodesh Nisan, the month of Nisim, which clues you in already a little bit. So with that as our introduction, Tzli Eish roasted over fire, which I hope we understand why. Amatas Umarim Yachluhu, which we have explained related to time, related to Avadim Hayinu, related to Halach Ma'anya. Let's talk about all of this that we observe and commemorate Dafka in the month of Nisan. Chodesh Nisan, the month of miracles, or better yet, Chodesh Nisan, the month of Nisim. Okay. In the Torah, Chodesh Nisan is known as two things, Chodesh HaRishon and Chodesh HaAviv. Did someone say Chodesh HaAviv before and say, what kind of that? I made that up. Chodesh HaRishon and Chodesh HaAviv. So first let's talk about Chodesh HaRishon. The Pasuk says, I quoted it before. It's Shemos, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Beis, Shemos 12:12. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu. HaChodesh HaZeh, Rishon Hu. This is Chodesh HaRishon, the first month. Why is it considered the first month? If Tishrei is the first month, what about Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei? Right? Yom HaDin, Al-Kol Ba'e Olam, all the inhabitants of the world pass before him like sheep. The first month, because it's the first month we were born as a nation. We already said it's the month of time. Nisan, you know, we say we're going to do things, we're going to be better, we're going to improve, we're going to take upon this Kabbalah. Nisan is the month to maximize. You know, we talk about Elul being the month of Teshuvah. I'm not recommending we don't do Teshuvah in Elul. We should, and we will continue to, Be'ezras Hashem. But Nisan is the month to take things you have resolved to make a change for, and you haven't been able to implement it, but realize the gift of time. Take whatever you want to change now and make it real. Make it happen, because it's Chodesh HaRishon. What does Chodesh HaRishon mean, the first month? What about Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei? The first month we were born as a nation. The first month of redemption. We began during this month our march to Sinai and Torah, and from there the march to Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael all began with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Am Yisrael certainly began with Yitzias Mitzrayim. We went down a family, B'shivim Nefesh, Yardu Avasei L'Mitzrayim. 70 meager souls. We went down to Egypt. It was a family, an extended family. Do you have a hotel? Can we rent out the rooms? We're just coming down for a little bit. B'shivim Nefesh, we say it to Agada. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. But something crazy happened in Egypt. When I saw paru vayishu tu vayarbu vayatzmu b'maor ma'or v'tamalei ha'aretz osem. You never saw such a thing. I never saw such a people. They're spreading out and they're spreading out. We went down as a family and we went up as a nation. Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, that was the next stop on our journey, and Eretz Yisrael. When did it all begin? In Nisan. This is the first month for you. Never mind the creation of the world. Never mind the creation of humanity. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Take this month and anything you could not bring to fruition. Yesterday, my Yetzer Hara was having a good day. So I said to myself, Michal Kuala said, your Yetzer Hara is on fire today. He was doing a very good job. Take all the things you felt you couldn't do for whatever reason, and bring it into Nisan. Because Nisan is the month of Nisim. We're going to understand it. Nisan is the month of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rishon Hu. It's the first month. It's the month of new beginnings. I'm sorry if it's a modern day cliche, but it's true. It's a new time. That's not a cliche. You're a new person. You're a new nation. It's a new journey. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Many a Holocaust survivor, I've read, I couldn't find any vignettes in my Svarim, but I'm sure you've heard about it. They commemorate the day of their liberation as their birthday. Why? It's not really their birthday. It's not Av Tishrei. It's Av Nisan, metaphorically. So why? Because that day is for you. It's a new beginning. I'll tell you on a very personal level, which I don't usually talk about. One of my son, who hears with two cochlear implants, his hearing birthday is Shushan Purim. Okay? He has a biological birthday, and he has a hearing birthday. And we commemorate that birthday every year. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This year he was sick. My daughter said, oh, it's so unpleasant, so you have to be sick on your birthday. He knows, and the family knows. That's HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. It's a new beginning for you. Chodesh Nisan in the Torah is called Chodesh HaRishon. Take this month as the first. It's your birthday. It's for you. It's also called Chodesh HaAviv. What does Chodesh HaAviv mean? Spring. And what's the pasuk there? I quoted you the pasuk Shemos 12:2 for Chodesh Hazalachem Rishon Hu. The Chodesh for spring is Devarim chapter 16 verse 1. Tazayin pasuk Aleph. Shamar es Chodesh HaAviv. Guard the month of spring. Vasisa Pesach. And what should you do in the month of spring? You should make Pesach. V'Hashem Elokach, at Hashem your God, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv, because in the month of spring, hotziach Hashem Elokach b'mitzrayim laila, Hashem took you out of Egypt in the middle of the night. My thanks to my daughter, Tamar, for teaching me that Nisan is from the word Nitzan. Nun, Yud, Tzadi, Nun. Nisan is with a Samech. It's the same word, except the Samech and the Tzadi are interchangeable. Nisan, my daughter just taught me last week, is from the word Nitzan. Nitzan means blossom. Of course, that's related to Chodesh HaAviv. And this month, even though it's freezing cold today, but if you go out, you do start to see, what? The trees are blossoming. In this month of, so what does it have to do with our national destiny? Chodesh HaRishon, we have already explained. Yeah? Questions? Chodesh HaRishon, we have explained. What about Chodesh HaAviv? What does that represent in terms of our national journey to freedom? So beautiful. From the word blossom, spring, Nisan, Nitzan, and in this month of blossoms, in this month of flowers, regrowth, rebirth. Make sure when Nisan comes to go say your bracha on the flowering fruit tree. If you miss the opportunity, you have to wait all the way till the next year. Flowers, regrowth, rebirth. In the month when the world, listen, emerges from the darkness of winter. Wasn't that Yetzias Mitzrayim metaphorically? We emerge from the darkness of Galus. When? B'chodesh HaAviv. Nothing is an accident. Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't in Choref. It wasn't in winter. It wasn't when the trees are bare and everything looks dead and there's not a blossom or a sign of life in sight. It was dafka b'chodesh HaAviv. Ki b'chodesh HaAviv hatziach Hashem lakachem Mitzrayim laila. It's interesting. I'm quoting from Devarim chapter 16 verse 1. Tazayim pasuk Aleph. Laila, with me? Is a metaphor for galus. Night in Machshava is galus. That's why we read Megillas Eicha only when? No. At night. But we read Megillas Esther, night is galus, but morning represents redemption. So Esther, we saw the redemption. When do we read the Megillah? Twice. At night represents the exile, but the morning has shone. Why do we only read Eicha at night? Because Rachman and Letzlan, we're still sitting on the floor. We're waiting for the morning of Geula. You with me? So it's very interesting. The pasuk in Devarim that I'm quoting, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hotziach Hashem lakechem Mitzrayim laila. It ends with the word laila. Before I move on to the next pasuk, you should know the pasuk is even alluding to us in this verse. It was a dark time of galus. It was a time when the heavens were closed. I'm not saying that. Mitzrayim was a time of Hester Panim. Until Hashem reawoke, so to speak. It was a time of Laila and all males into the Nile River. It was a time when we thought maybe we're never going to get out of here. It was a time of Tzli Eish. But in that Dafka time of night, from the winter, from the darkness, from the cold, from the lifeless shapes of those barren trees, comes Chodesh HaAviv. From the night comes the spring. Decades of slavery, centuries of shibur, all through the long, dark, cold night of Galus, when all hope seemed lost, when the sun did not shine, when it seemed that our fate was the eternal fate of slavery. All of that was banished suddenly with the Galus Mitzrayim as we burst forth as new blossoms on a tree. Ki b'chipazon yatzasa me'aretz Mitzrayim. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Because in haste, you burst forth from the land of Egypt. How could it be that the tree one day has nothing on it, and the next day, it's heavy with blossoms? How could it be the branches look dead, and tomorrow it looks so beautifully alive? In haste, we burst forth from the land of Egypt, I wrote, with great beauty and great hope. And therefore, the Torah calls this month the Chodesh of Aviv, the Chodesh of spring, the Chodesh of Nitzan, blossom. Not winter, not summer, not fall. Sit down on this day in the spring and rejoice. Do we understand Chodesh HaRishon? And do we understand Chodesh HaAviv? Yes?
If it's Chodesh Ha'avid, I'm feeling that there's an implication that in order to have a reblossoming, it means that seeds have to have been planted, so that the galus is not just a time of laying fallow, but we need to use that time in order to appreciate the era of Avid.
Okay, very nice. You're saying the seeds were planted before.
Right.
Okay, like the bulbs, the tulip bulbs are planted in the fall. So really the germination, if you will, begins long before we see it.
And it happens throughout the winter in order to have a blossom in the spring.
Very nice. So that was very nice, very nice. That was the purpose of the Shibud Mitzrayim. It's through the cauldron that we emerged. It's hard to say, but we needed that dark time in order to burst forth.
And just to go forth, it was in my head before, way back, it's been wonderful. You're doing a wonderful job, Michal. But when there was something you said that triggered in my head, and no matter what happens, Ein ben chomrin ela misha osek b'Torah. And if that is not an underlying foundation to what a Jew is, then none of this is possible.
It's true. Yes. That's why the march from Pesach doesn't end with Pesach. It ends when? 49 days later, Shavuos. And that's why Shavuos doesn't have really its own name. It's called weeks. Why is it called weeks? Because it's intimately connected to Galus Mitzrayim, Geula from Mitzrayim, because the Geula that began with physical redemption only culminates with spiritual redemption at the foothills of Sinai. Absolutely, very nice. And that's why you could even add something very nice, beautiful, relating to this thought. We start counting Omer when? On Pesach, to symbolize that the journey to the ultimate freedom actually begins when physical freedom has to be related to that spiritual freedom. Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, Chodesh Ha'aviv, Nisan was once walking with his Talmud, Rav Moshe Scheinemann, through the forest in Eretz Yisrael of Abu Ghosh. It was the end of winter, and the entire forest was barren, and the entire forest was lifeless. Suddenly, Rav Gifter stopped, and he said to his Talmud, Moshe, cook! Moshe, give a kick! Look! There was a teeny flower nestled amongst the rocks. One flower. And Moshe looked back at his Rebbe, Rav Gifter. His Rebbe was crying. Crying! He could not imagine such one little small flower would bring his Rebbe to tears. And he said to him, you see, Moshe, the entire forest soon will be completely covered in green. The trees will be full. The flowers will be in blossom. There will be life everywhere. No one will even remember what the forest looked like in the lifeless winter. And then Rav Mordechai Gifter said, the same is true with redemption. One day there will be redemption surrounding us from all sides. No one will ever remember there was this exile. It will all be a dream. But he became extremely emotional. Rav Gifter began to cry even harder. And he said, but Moshe, where is our flower of redemption? Where is the flower? So Nisan, Chodesh Ha'aviv. In addition, Nisan is from the word Nisim, Nais. Yeah? So Nisan, Chodesh Ha'rishon, we've explained. Nisan, Chodesh Ha'aviv, Nisan, Milashon, Nais. Which brings us to the topic of today's share, which is Nisan, the month of Nisim. So many Nisim that we relay at the Pesach Seder, the 10 Makos, that's a whole share in and of itself. Kriyas Yamsuf on Shvi'i Shal Pesach, the staff to the snake and back, the sheep of the lamb for the Korban Pesach on Rosh Chodesh, and the Egyptians did not protest. Layers and layers and layers of miracles. An impressed nation marching out of Egypt in the middle of the day. This pasuk says, in the middle of the day. The other pasuk says, at night. Shemos 13:3. Vayomer Moshe al ha'am zachar es hayom hazer asher yetzatzem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because ki b'chol zagyar otzi Hashem eschem mizeh. Lo yachol chametz. Remember this day, this very day that you left Egypt. What does it mean, a nes? What does a miracle mean? Ayar Malach Hashem Elav mit Balabas Eish. Moshe saw the angel of Hashem in the flames of fire. Mitoch HaSneh, from the thorn bush. Something very strange is going on with the Sneh. Vayar, and he looks. V'inei HaSneh Bo'er Be'esh. The thing is on fire. V'asneh Eino Ukal, but it's not being from Achal. It's not being consumed. Shemos chapter 3, verse 2. Perikim on Pasuk Beis. How could it be that you put a bush on fire? How could it be you put a lamb in the fire? How could it be that it's not burning? It doesn't make sense. Rav Soloveitchik says, what did Moshe see? Vayar v'ineh esneh bo'er ba'esh. It's burning. What did he see? When the thorn bush was on fire, it wasn't consumed. No ashes, there remains a bush. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Moshe saw bo'er ba'esh, burning with fire. He waited an hour, 4 hours, half a day. I don't know, says Rav Soloveitchik, but the fire continues to burn. And in fact, Hashem and Moshe had their communion at the burning bush for how long? How long? 1 week. The bush, which should have been a heap of ash long ago, is still burning. So his attention is taken by the indestructibility of the sneh. So what does he realize? Symbolically, what does this show? The covenantal community is indestructible. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paragimel Pasuk Aleph. When it's right after the psukim that deal with Bnei Yisrael's tefilos in Mitzrayim, which is chapter 2, verses 23 through 25 in Shemos, speaks about Bnei Yisrael crying and groaning, all the shonos of tefilah. Chapter 3, verse 1, the very next words are, U'mosha haya ro'a. Moshe was a shepherd. What's the juxtaposition? All those tefilos reawakened Kaviyachol, the divine Shechina. No mer haster panim. Now it's Gilui Shechina, the revelation of the divine presence. And who's on board? Moshe. Where do we meet him? By the burning bush. But the bush is not burning. Symbolically, what is the show, says Rav Soloveitchik? The covenantal community is indestructible. Remember, we already spoke about our head and our legs, even though we're roasted. We all know it. No matter how difficult circumstances are, no matter how much suffering there is, the covenantal community, what's a covenantal community? The community of Briso Shel Avram Avinu will never terminate. The primitive desert plant, the primitive nation, the despised nation, the rough nation, I'm putting that all in quotes, that's what they say of us, will never be consumed by the fire. For we are an eternal people. We'll never be entirely consumed. Because you might say, this is a stira. Didn't we just say, it's li'esh, throw us in the fire. But the metzias is, you throw us in the fire and we come out of the fire. Perhaps that is represented in the first nisayon of Avraham Avinu. Perhaps that relates very, very much to what we're learning today. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire. He was the snare. He was on fire. But he was also tzli'esh with his head and his legs. Very nice. He picked up and he walked to the land of Canaan. He came out of the fire and he walked forward. With his mind, he recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam says, at the age of 40. And with his legs, what? He went forward. We'll never be burned. Water's meant to drown. Moshe drowned the Egyptians. Fire meant to consume. Klal Yisrael consumes our nation, the nations of the world. The tree meant to hang Mordechai. Hang Haman. It is compelling to note, if we're talking about Nisim and Nisan, it is compelling to note the word Sneh. If you unscramble it, spells out Nes Hashem. Sneh, Samich, Nun, Hei, is Nes Hashem. It is the miracle of Hashem. What is the miracle of Hashem within the burning bush? The miracle is that His people are indestructible. His people will always be here. Come what may. They throw us into the fire, and we're going to come out on an individual level and on a national level. So then why do you have to scramble the letters? Why can't the snare just be called Masa, like Nun Samechei? Why do you have to make it so complicated, like a trick? The miracle is perhaps at times not always obvious. Perhaps at times, Chalila, we feel it might be the end. It might be Chalila, the last Jew into the Nile River. It might be the last male into the Danube River. It might be the last Jew, God forbid, Hashem Yerachim, into the flames of the Inquisition, into the flames of the Kivshan Aish, into the flames of the Cossack pogroms, into the flames of Gzeros Tach V'tat, into the flames of Treblinka. It will never be. They will throw us in, Vasna Einenu Ukal. We will never be consumed. V'hisha amda lavoseinu v'lanu. It is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. Shalo achad bilvar amar leinu l'chaloseinu. Not one alone has stood up against us. Alisha b'chol dar v'dar. In each and every generation, amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. V'asneinu n'ukal. V'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. Rabbi Yosef Friedensen was a renowned historian, editor of Das Yiddish Wort, Holocaust survivor, parenthetically married to my maternal grandmother's first cousin, Gittel Friedensen. Every year, he would visit the small shtiebel in Muncie, New York, where his daughter and son-in-law lived, and he would retell the story. Between the fourth and the fifth hakafa, they would stop the hakafas on Rabbi Yosef Friedenzeit. When I asked my mother about him, she wrote Yossel. I guess that's what he was called on a personal level, would tell the following story. And he would relate to the kehillah in Muncie, New York. I will never forget that year. We were in the smithy shop preparing for the day's work. But for some reason, we had not been given any work to do. It was unusual, but we were not complaining because somebody remembered it was Simchas Torah. And we all began singing the appropriate songs. This relates very much to what you said about Torah. And someone started the following nigun. Ein adir ka Hashem, ve'ein baruch keben Amram. There's no one as powerful of Hashem. There's no one as blessed as Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, we were singing. And we got to the part of the nigun that says, ein zechia ke Torah. There's no merit like Torah. Ve'ein chachameha ki Yisrael. There's no wisdom like Israel. Remember, we spoke about our head today. We're speaking about the head of the Korban Pesach representing the Yiddish Akab. There's no zchus like Torah. There's no head like Israel. Suddenly, the camp commandment, a somewhat civil German by the name of Bruno Papa, walked into the room. He looked at us singing and he became very angry. What is this? What are you singing? You have it so good here, you can sing, you need more work. Everybody stopped quickly. Bichipazon. We were very frightened. Papa was relatively civil, but he was a German. Friedensen, Papa said, what were you singing? I stepped forward. I explained today was our holiday, rejoicing with the Torah, and we were singing. Were you praying or singing? Were you praying for the downfall of the Fuhrer? Is that where your song was? Translate the words for me. When I translated the words, there's no wisdom like Israel. He said, are you so wise? Du glaubst in das? Do you believe in this? There was a boy of 17 or 18, a Jewish boy, not even from our religious group, but I think it's the Pintel Yid that now also represents that even those who seem removed from Torah always have the spark of Torah within them. It's always a message of the snare. In the middle of the bush, there's the fire. Ben Chorin el Amisha Osek B'Talmud Torah Al Tekri Charus El Cherus, as the Mishnah Perek Abbas. Don't read it engraved. The Luchos weren't engraved. Read of freedom. Even those who think, who seem, who feel removed are never Chas V'Shalom entirely removed from Torah. There was a boy of 17 or 18 years old, not even from a religious group. He jumped up in German and he said, Herr Commandment, I believe. Ich glaub, I believe. Ich glaub. Papa began asking each one of us in that smithy shop if we believed. He went from person to person. Every single person said, yes, we believe. He looked at us and while gesturing and exclaiming, you Jews are amazing. And then he said, I don't know how the Fuhrer will ever be able to defeat you. And he walked away. It was an incredible moment of pride and faith. How right he was, says Friedensen, and how fortunate we are. We must never be afraid. We must always believe. Ein zechia ketorah, ve'ein chachameh kisrael. And with that, the small shul of Mansi broke out on song and dance with the fifth hakafa. The nace of Nisan is that come what may, they will never defeat us. Okay. I have 5 minutes on the clock. Is everyone okay for 5 minutes, or you need me to stop? Go. Okay, I want to tell you something fascinating that occurred to me this year that has never occurred to me before. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim during Kriyas HaMegillah. Something fascinating. There's a number of verses in the Megillah that we read in a very sad tune, right? Echa. Even though we were redeemed, it's sad. What's sad? Megillas Esther 1:7. V'keilim mikeilim shonim. 18,500 Jews went to the party of Achashverosh. Did you know that? That's what the Medrash says. 18,500 Jews. Vashkos v'klei zahav, gold and goblets. V'keilim mikeilim shonim. I can't lean, but if I could, I would demonstrate for you. You should be able to hear it in your own head. The goblets were goblets from Yerushalayim, from Tzion, from the base of Mikdash. Mourn, lament. Asher hagla miYerushalayim. Esther 2:6. Im Hagola Asher Hagla, Mordechai was exiled. Im Yechaniah Melech Yehuda Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. When you talk about Mordechai being a Jew in exile, you should cry, you should lament, read in a tune of Echa, it's a disaster. Gahak the Taurus! Nebuchadnezzar took them out. Esther 3:15. Haratzim Yatsu Dchufim Bedvar Melech, Vadad Nitna Beshushan Habira, Vamelech, Vahaman Yashu Lishtos, Vayir Shushan Nevocha, Vayir Shushan Nevocha, cry. Echa, they're confused, perplexed, annihilation, extermination. How could this be? Okay, we have 1:7, 2:6, 3:15, 4:1. Mordechai Yadas Kol Asher Nasa. Mordechai knew everything that happened. He tore a kriya. I'm trying to fast forward, but I can't skip. He put on sackcloth and ashes. He went out in the city and he cried a great cry. Read it in the tune of Echa. 4:3. Evel gadol Yehudim, great mourning for the Jews. Vitzamu v'chiyu misped, fasting, crying, haspedim. Sak ve'efer yutza l'rabim. 1:7. Goblets of the Beis HaMikdash. 2:6, Mordechai was a Jew in exile from Churban Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon. 3:15, the city of Shushan was perplexed. 4:1, Mordechai goes out in mourning and crying. 4:3, all the Jews are mourning. 4:16, Esther pleads with her life before the king, V'kasher avadati avadati, as I shall perish, I shall perish. And the last verse read in the tune of Echa is 8:6. 8:6, ki echecha ucha v'ra'isi, echecha. How can I see the bad that will befall my people? How can I see the annihilation of my nation? 1:7, 2:6, 3:15, 4:1, 4:3, 4:16, 8:6. You could look them up. I don't have time to translate or quote them all. My thanks to Dr. Andrew Siklik for confirming these verses for me. A fascinating and compelling pattern emerges here. When you talk about Golas, when we talk about Churban Bayis Rishon, when we talk about destruction, we talk about mourning, read it in a sad tune, lament, cry, get on the floor, tear Kriya. It's a terrible time. But perhaps the worst pasuk in the entire Megillah is not read in a sad tune. Which verse is that? The one that I quote all the time, for those who learn with me. V'nishloach svarim b'yad haratzim. And they sent out the letter in the hands of the runners, I'll call Medinos HaMelech, to all the kingdoms of the king, La'ashmid, La'harog, La'abed, Eskol HaYehudi, Minar, V'adzokin, Taf, V'nashim, B'yam, Echad. Destroy, annihilate, kill, murder, gas chamber, Danube River, Spanish Inquisition, the swords of the Cossacks, the Egyptian River, the Kivshan Aish. And one day, but we don't read it in the tune of Echa. Unbelievable. We don't read it in the tune of Echa. How could this be? It's the worst pasuk in the entire Megillah. The decree has been issued. Run in the streets, plaster the posters, send out the Twitter, fast forward the email. It's a disaster. Everyone's going to be destroyed on one day. How could it be? It's not in the tune of Echa. It's in a joyous tune. It blows my mind. You know how? From our perspective down here, we face great tragedy. From our perspective, they rise up to destroy us. In each and every generation, we think it's the end. To annihilate, to destroy, to exterminate. Esther Malka said, from my perspective, we're all going to be destroyed. By he cried a great cry because the extermination order has been passed. From our perspective, it's the end. So we cry, and we tear kriya, and we fast, and we put on sackcloth and ash, and we go into the streets, and we cry a big and great and bigger cry. We're confused and we're perplexed. Quickly, it's the tune of Echa. Will it be the end of Am Yisrael? What are you waiting for? Said my grandfather to Rav Avram Brand, who is dressed at the entrance to his home in the town of Krasnok. I'm waiting for death's arrival. That was his answer. But you might think it's the end, because from our perspective, times might look frightening and terrible. And so from our perspective, we mourn and we chant a haunting, sad, lamenting tune. But it will never, ever be. From the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk, Lahashmid, Laharog, La'abed, Eskol HaYehudim, is not sad. Because Eskol HaYehudim, Minarva, Zakin, Tafanashim, from boobies to babies, will never happen. Tzeu Amar, Ma Bikesh Lavin Harami, Milas, with Yaakov Avinu. What did he, Bikesh, La'akar Eshakol. Don't read that pasuk in a mournful tune, read it in a joyous tune. Rabos Machshavos, Belev Ish, Va'atzos Hashem, Hitakum. When the runners go out quickly, we cry. When we tear Korea, we cry. But lavam bikesh la'akar esakol, lahashmid la'arug la'abed eskola yehudim, don't cry, it will never happen. My friend and colleague Zahava Farbman shared a beautiful following insight with me. The pasuk says by Keis Yitzchak, I'm finishing up. And Avram lifted his eyes, Sefer Bereishis 22:13. Vayar vihine ayel achar nechaz besvach bekarnov. There's a ram stuck in the horns. Looking at the ram straight on, he looked stuck. Poor ram. Looking at the ram from above, he looked placed. That's exactly where the ram was supposed to be. Lucky ram. We're either stuck or exactly where we're supposed to be. It all depends on perspective and from where we see things. From our perspective, straight on, we seem stuck. Poor us. From Hashem's perspective, from above, we're exactly where we're supposed to be. Lucky us. And it is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. Vav, my children taught me this, equals Shisha Sidre Mishnah. What's the Vihi? Related to what you said, Leah. What's the Vihi? Vav is Shisha Sidre Mishnah. He is Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Yud is the Aseres Hadibros. And Aleph is Vihi Hashem. Because I'll teach Benisan Nigalu Benisan Asidin Ligael. Sechas Rosh Hashanah 11a. May we be zocha to the ultimate and immediate redemption speedily in our days. For when that day, great day comes, ladies, there will be no more mourning, no more echa, no more lamenting, no more sackcloth, and no more tears. No more echa, and no more chorban. It will only be rejoicing and song from both his perspective and from ours. Thank you, everybody.